on today's Compassion Radio.
We honestly never had backlash. I truly believe that this is God's project, and He has very graciously allowed us to witness it and work for Him in this project. And so we walk through the doors that He's opened. We know we can't reach everyone. What we do, we choose to do well. We have no problem doing something small and being excellent, rather than doing something too large and bring confusion.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, you must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Welcome to Compassion Radio, the daily radio ministry journal that takes you to the far corners of the earth. On today's broadcast, we're excited to highlight sort of the next generation of youthful exuberance to our ministry microphones as we welcome Bram and Sandy Floria's second oldest daughter, Lyric. Now, Lyric is a student at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she recently had the chance to sit down with some folks who are truly ministering to the least with some of their most essential needs. Stick with us for the next 25 minutes, and you'll no doubt have a renewed sense of faith in humanity. Here's Lyric to make introductions.
I'm Lyric Floria, a student here at Calvin College, attending the Faith and International Development Conference, The Power of Hope, that Calvin College is putting on here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm sitting down this evening with Donna Terpstra. She is the leader of It's Our Mission, Period, and that is a nonprofit being represented here at the FIDC. And Donna, tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, I'm glad to be here. And we came together because we wanted women to find hope and dignity in their womanhood. And what we discovered in the work that we do is so many women are marginalized and set aside for the very basic, simple reason of being female and what they need to endure for their monthly cycles, not having supplies. And we feel that's not a reason to set women aside, but that they have worth and they have dignity. And we want women to believe that that's how God created them.
So how did you get your start with It's Our Mission, Period?
It's Our Mission, Period came out of a response of the needs of some schoolgirls in Kenya. I had been doing work in Africa for quite some time in different areas of ministry, but I had never gotten close enough to the actual students in the school to live beside them. Once I came into relationship with them on a more intimate level, I discovered that they were missing school. And it was not because they were ill. It was not because they were away from the school grounds. It was because they were back in their dorm room because they had their period. I discovered their marks were getting lower. And what challenged me was in some countries, they are given as students standardized testing. And when the government officials review the testing, they will see all of the marks of all the students. And what was happening was the girls' marks were falling to the bottom of the tier. What that meant was the upper tier could continue education, but the lower tier could not. The message that was given to administration was, girls are not worthy of education, their marks never pass where they need to be, it's the boys who are moving on without them, so perhaps girls are not worth the effort to educate. And that was something I knew needed to be changed. I believe girls are incredibly bright and incredibly smart, but these girls were at a disadvantage due to the fact they were missing 25% of their learning time in school. They were spending 1 week a month back in the dorm room, and they would then fall behind, and their marks would reflect their absences.
So what did you decide to do about that?
I decided to make a difference, and I basically just stepped out and started to talk to people and let them know what these girls were dealing with. And other women who understand what women live with each month were really moved with compassion and said, we need to do something. So the first thing they wanted to do was to take an offering. They thought that I could buy disposable products and take them to the school when I returned to Africa. That was exactly what I did not want to do, because in our understanding, if you bring them disposable products, number one, you're causing an environmental challenge. Number two, the latrine systems are not created in those societies and in those rural areas to be able to withstand or process the sanitary supplies that are thrown in there. And number three, most heartbreakingly, you are training these girls just long enough to have enough supplies until they're comfortable, and then they run out. And then they have to wait for the next well-meaning person to show up with disposables. And I knew that wasn't the answer. So this Bible study and these ladies, we sat and we talked and we thought perhaps we could make something. So we created a washable, reusable system. And it was our goal at that time, back in 2011, that we would make enough supplies for the 60 girls in this particular school. And so we set to gathering and sewing and gathering fabric, and the women were creating the washable supplies that we would eventually take to the school in Kenya.
So is this a design that you all just came up with together in a living room, or is this somewhere you got inspiration from somewhere else?
The design we use is not any different than any other wing-shaped menstrual pad, so I don't know who gets the credit for the wings. But what we did was we reflected back to a pattern I had seen earlier. My daughter had used a similar product when she was in high school and college, and I remembered it coming through my laundry basket. And so I gave her a quick call and I said, "Hey, how do you make those wings that you used to throw in our laundry?" And so she gave me her pattern, and we started to recreate the pattern into a proper size and shape that we felt would work for the girls in the school. We started with white typing paper. Then we moved up to the backs of cornflake boxes and cut them out of cardboard. And eventually we sat down and sketched it and created a professional template out of acrylic. And now that's the system that we're using. It's much more sturdy. Very much like anything you would see in the stores. We knew it would work well, having had women use it here. We knew it would work well for them also.
So when you had all these kits made up and you went back to Africa, what was that process like?
It was amazing. We were so amazed at the faithfulness of God. We determined in the beginning by our design to make 60 packets. At the end of the story, God had helped us to make 6,000 packets.
Wow.
And we were so blessed. It was just like God to do a 100-fold miracle for these girls. And so we initially took a few hundred packets. We took them to the school. I am very evangelistic in nature, and so my heart is to come in and to give them the word and to tell them the truth, that God thinks women are worthy, that God loves women, that Jesus worked with women and was a friend to women. And these are new thoughts for them. So I come in with a basic teaching of love and compassion on who God sees them to be. And we then went about distributing the packets. Once everything was distributed, we would have them open the packets, and they would go through them, and there would be a lot of laughter and a lot of giggles. And I would give them a basic teaching of the monthly cycle. And I say basic because I'm not trained in medical knowledge whatsoever, and I did not want to be held accountable for my lack of information. But even beyond that, I wanted a community health worker, one of their own people in the community, to come and to give that instruction. So she would give the anatomical instruction, and I would give a basic instruction on the promise of life, that God has entrusted us with life. And the last step would be a washing party. And what we would do is we would have the girls take some of the supplies out of their bag. We would take buckets and soap that we had brought in to donate, and we would have all the girls wash a portion of their supplies. The reason we do this is, for the first time, we want to instill a memory of something happy and positive in regard to their monthly cycle. Mm-hmm. We also want to break the fear of, how will I do this for the first time? And what will someone say if they see me washing my supplies? So we do it together. There's a lot of soap. There's a lot of bubbles. There's a lot of laughs. We wash everything. We wring it out. We hang it out on bushes. There's, again, a lot of laughter and a lot of joy. There's a lot of freedom for these girls. And my heart was that that quiet little girl who never asks a question could now be bold enough to wash her supplies. that she wouldn't be afraid to ask a teacher or a classmate, how do I wash these? But she could be set free from that timidity. She wouldn't be covered with shame. She would be as bold as everyone else in washing her supplies when it came time to use them for her monthly cycle. So it's an amazing day. It's an exhausting day when you have that many girls with giggles and pads and bubbles. But it's a day they will never forget. And that's what we wanted. We wanted a positive impact. One thing we've learned is you cannot change a behavior until you change a thought. And in order for these girls to walk with the esteem of which they are worthy, in order for them to hold themselves with the respect of which they are due, you need to change the way they think. And so we bring joy, we bring laughter, and we bring a unity among the girls that we're all in this together.
That is one awesome mode of ministry going on there. And we'll get right back to this conversation in just a quick minute. You know, the mission of Compassion Radio is to be the eyes, ears, hands, feet, and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most wherever faith costs the most. Please join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770. Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to the program.
So you started with these 60 girls at this one school, and what happened from there?
Well, word travels fast, school to school. On our next trip, the next school wanted also to have supplies. We liked this idea because the first school we worked with was considered a Christian school. The second school was what they call a public school. I liked the idea that the public school was being helped by the Christian school. Too often, Christian organizations or Christian schools can look as the beggar. They need the help from other people. And I thought this was a tremendous opportunity for the Christian school to rise up and to be generous and to extend a compassionate hand to the public school children who did not have the same opportunity that these girls had had through us. So we would come back with more supplies. Each trip, we would bring more 50-pound cartons, and we would distribute to more and more girls. The exciting thing was the girls in that region began to excel in their studies. The absenteeism stopped. There was a new unity and a new bond beyond the girls. They respected one another in a new way. The cattiness that girls can have at one another stopped. They were suddenly all the same. And as their marks increased, so did the attention that they were receiving. People began to talk about how this particular school was excelling, and when they would ask why, they would say, "The girls no longer miss." And so it became a positive influence in the community. More and more schools wanted product, so we would continue to bring more and more product. That was a blessing, but we could also see that was a burden because there was no way that we could financially afford to transport this many packets, number one. Number two, we were teaching them to wait on our return, and that's not empowerment. We wanted to teach them that you are fully capable of doing this. You now know the value of the product. You now desire more. Now is the time to learn how. We would try to find people who believe in what we're doing, who would donate funds so that when we would get into the country, we could buy a machine or two and take it out to that particular school. I could very easily teach them how to do this. I try not to. I want the teaching to come from the people that are already there. So we would hire a seamstress to come into the school. I would privately teach her off to the side. I would then introduce her to the class with respect and dignity and honor that she had as a woman. And I would say, now this woman is going to show you how you can create this. For me, it's more empowering that the learning come from their own people that are already there. The cycle of depending on a missionary or an agency to return needs to be stopped. If we can give them the skills by teaching them, they can then continue on their own.
So at any point in this process, this many-year process, was there any resistance to this project or any backlash from any of the schools or any of the men in the area?
We honestly never had backlash. I truly believe that this is God's project, And he has very graciously allowed us to witness it and work for him in this project. And so we walk through the doors that he's opened. We know we can't reach everyone. What we do, we choose to do well. We have no problem doing something small and being excellent rather than doing something too large and bring confusion. So we never had a backlash. We've never had a negative remark. We've never had an unfortunate event. I believe it's been very positive, and that the first gentleman that started with us on this entire journey, the gentleman who founded this school for girls, is an amazing Christian man. He believes in women. He respects women. And so I believe that God allowed us to work together, that together through prayer, through perseverance, and through relationship, we went through the doors that God was opening for us. We've never desired to be the end all. We've never desired to be the biggest and the best. We've desired to be obedient. God protects you when you walk in His obedience. I can honestly say with a very big smile on my face, we haven't had any backlash.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Praise God.
Praise God. So now with the more widespread you are reaching more and more schools, what are the ways in which you are hoping to get other people involved?
What we'd like to see happen and what our emphasis is right now is connecting those who may go or have access to areas of need. We want to connect those people with the process of the training. We want to see churches, mission teams, organizations to receive this curriculum, to purchase it, to watch the video, to see the product, and to know that they can then train in the field. The process can work in many ways. One way is for your church or organization to purchase the toolkit. You then use this again and again, reusable for any team that may go in the field, and you watch and you learn. When you then go into the field, you take your empowerment travel pack, which is a smaller version, and you train her in the field. One of the models we follow is each one, reach one. So you will go with your packet. You as one will train her as one. The very next day, she is capable of training someone else. And so the cycle begins. And again, she can continue to train. So what we are trying to do is to get the word out to organizations, churches, individuals who know the need is there and who understand that skills is the way up. And skills never die. Our hope is that we can enlighten people to understand the value and the worth of women, and that we can extend this hope and this worth and this understanding to the women of the many nations who are disadvantaged. Our hearts ache for the marginalized women who are set aside simply by being female, and this is a very easy way that more people can make a greater difference. I believe in exponential growth. If I continue to go to one school at a time, I will reach one school at a time. But if 50 organizations will each go to their own school or their own passion place, we will have grown 50 times fold. So we really want to connect and harness the energy of the compassion of people who go into these areas to take skills, to take training. When you're finished training her, you have left her with the supplies. She has made a complete package for herself to use, which will last 4 to 5 years. You have also left her with skills. You have trained her. She has learned from a pattern. She has learned through experience. She now knows how to do the product. You have given her the provision of the supplies. You have given her the skills. And you have now given her the tools to start her own business. And that's what we hope people can see through the use of this curriculum product.
So when you tell this story and this vision for one person impacting another and then them impacting another, I get a wonderful picture of what the body of Christ looks like on earth. I get a wonderful picture of what evangelism looks like and how the word of Christ can spread so quickly through his people, and the truth of dignity and the truth of worth and value that God sees when he looks at us can spread so quickly through impacted lives. When you talk about these Mary bags, I just got a picture of, you know, these Mary bags and these Mary hearts and the things that are kind of just overflowing from that. And I think that's wonderful. What is something that God has really done in your own heart, really taught you personally through all of this process?
This project has been very humbling for me. I think it would be humbling for anyone. You learn that you're not the most popular person at the table when you talk about menstrual supplies in third world nations. It has been humbling, but it is also the greatest privilege I think I have ever had. God has entrusted women with the ability to carry life. He has entrusted us with the responsibility at this time of sharing the truth with these wonderful women in these places. We believe that women are the secret weapon in these last days of the church. They've been marginalized for so long, they are a sleeping giant. I think once they become empowered with the truth of how God loves them and what Jesus has done for them, that Jesus loved them also, that they will become set free. And as they awaken in that love and acceptance of themselves, they will love others. One thing I've learned during this project is that a woman who does not love herself cannot love others well. When she despises being a woman for everything it has brought to her, from abuses to inconveniences to suffering to torment, she has learned to hate being female. A woman who feels this way inside cannot exhibit love outside. If you can touch the heart of a woman with truth, and Jesus touches her heart with healing, she will love her children well, she will love her husband well, and a community will progress. You mentioned the Mary Bags. The Mary Bags is an interesting story. Again, because I love to share the Word of God, I wanted to bring in the Word of God in these distributions. When we do distributions, we're fortunate because we're coming in with a practical need and a practical product. It allows us to enter many other schools. If I come in with a Bible, I'm limited. I can only go into the Christian schools. If I come in meeting a need, I can go anywhere. I also understood, even though I'm going anywhere, God still goes with me. And I wanted to include him in that distribution. So when it came time to name the product, so we could all be understanding exactly what we were speaking of, I was praying and I felt that God had laid upon my heart that it was called the Mary Bag. I would always include a teaching to the girls when we would get to the portion of the instructions that would say, when your liner is soiled and it's time to place it aside, we place it in this bag. And we've named this bag the Mary Bag. And I want to tell you why. I would then take time to look at all these girls and I would ask them, do we know who Jesus is? Some would and some wouldn't. I would say, do we know who Mary was? And some would and some wouldn't. And so I would continue. And I would say to them that in our Bible, in our Holy Scriptures, God has told us that his world was fallen into sin and that this world needed redemption. And he had an answer through the redemption of bringing his son. And I tell the girls, this God who created the universe and everything around them was so wise and so great that he could choose to bring that son to these fallen people in any fashion he chose. I make them laugh. I say, great, maybe he brought him on an airplane. Maybe he brought them on a satellite tower. All the girls will laugh. And it's then that I get quiet. And I look at each one and I say, but this God, this wise God, had the perfect answer of bringing Jesus. And his answer was to bring Jesus through a girl, just like you. And it's at that moment that they realize being female is worthy, it's respectable, and it's what God designed for them. And they begin to understand the value and the trust that God has for them. So the Mary Bag is a sneaky little way that I tell the girls that you are a girl, just like Mary. And it really has made a difference.
Wow, that's wonderful. So you're here at the Faith and International Development Conference here at Calvin. So what is your message to the students that you're interacting with here at Calvin?
I want them to get excited. Sometimes we make missions a lot harder than it needs to be. God said go, so go. This is not a complicated project. You don't even need to know how to sew. You can direct them, and they can take it from there. So I want the girls, I want the people interested in this to keep that excitement and to keep that energy and that vivaciousness and take it with them to the areas that they love. Everyone has a passion place. When you go there, you take Jesus in your heart. You take the Holy Spirit in his presence. And God is smiling down upon you as you go. So I want to capture their excitement. If God says go, you can do this and he'll go with you.
Wonderful. Well, Donna, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you at this conference. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I would just like to encourage people to check into the project and to think about their passion place. Where have you been? Where has your niece been? Where does your church support an area? What could you do for those women? It's simple. The time is short. Women are precious. It's time that they become set free through the love of God and the truth of his word. And I truly believe together we can do this.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Donna Terpstra of It's Our Mission, Period, and to Lyric Floria for her wonderful contribution to today's program. You know, friend, it's easy to overlook the significance of every effort we make in faithful service to God. Only He knows the total impact of our seemingly small contributions to His kingdom. Each dollar contributed to Compassion Radio from you goes directly toward ministering the gospel and compassion of Christ to tens of thousands around the world. As a result of your financial support, this ministry is able to provide your community with relevant Christian information you won't hear elsewhere. Your contribution to this ministry will be an investment in the lives of people. People who will be able to reap the benefits for eternity. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful, blessed day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.